Welcome to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Here's Cole Thompson.
And here we go! Welcome to Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Cole Thompson back in the driver's seat, getting you caught up on everything you might have missed. Headed into a fun Thursday morning action. 800-224-2004. That's the number to call on the show. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you hate. Let's be real. You love everything about this show. I know you love everything about this show. But the best way to make sure that you get what you want on this show is by calling in. Because what's rule number one here on Just Saying It? We love listening to you, the listener. 800-224-2004. That's the number. Don't forget it anytime soon. At Mr. Cole Thompson on Twitter, at Sports Map Radio. Download the Just Saying It podcast version of the show on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Audio Boom, wherever else you get your podcast listening systems. We got you covered 24/7, 365 days out of the year. And do me one more favor, make sure you download the Sports Map Radio app. Carries in your pocket throughout your day so you don't miss a second of all of our great local programming. The wonderful, delightful Michael Hernandez on the other side of the glass producing. Fun final hour planned ahead. NBA Finals begins tonight. Game one, Denver Nuggets versus Miami Heat. Is there a reason why this year the finals feel like it's a bit underwhelming? I'll give you the answer to it, and it's not the reason why you probably think. Let's also talk about Bob Myers stepping down as the GM of the Golden State Warriors. What does this mean for the future of a franchise and a dynasty that has been built and predicated on incredible success over the last decade? And who needs to win more, Jimmy Butler or Nikola Jokic, for their impact and legacy in the game of basketball? But each and every day at this time, we go around the NFL, breaking down some of the biggest storylines you might have missed. And we do so in 2 minutes or less, hence the reason we call this segment the 2-Minute Warning. Oh, Michael! Start the clock.
San Francisco 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy continues to check the boxes in his return from offseason elbow surgery. General Manager John Lynch said Wednesday morning on SiriusXM NFL Radio that Purdy conducted his first throwing session since undergoing the UCL procedure, and the club was encouraged with how the QB looked. Since Purdy's surgery in March was pushed back, the Niners have said the QB's first throwing session will come early in June. He got it in a little early, presumably tossing a pigskin this week as Niners return for their second week of OTAs. The 49ers brass continues to reiterate the starting job is Purdy's if he's fully healed by the start of the season. In the meantime, Trey Lance, Sam Darnold, and Brandon Allen will continue to split reps in practices.
Brock's a worker. If you give him a task, he's gonna do everything in his power. You know, so these are just timelines, and timelines are just that. They're guidelines, but, you know, when I say tracking well, it's just he's hitting all his markers, and it doesn't surprise us because he's putting in the work. And as for best case scenario, we're just going to kind of take it as it comes. But, I mean, the hope is he's ready for training camp. The hope is he's ready for the regular season.
I understand where he comes from. Literally, I don't understand why people are trying to change the whole process of like, oh, Sam Darnold comes in and there's rave reviews out of the Bay Area. That Trey Lance, who at this point in his career has had a lot of injury concerns, but also not a lot of playing time since his FCS national title run when he was with North Dakota State, he's going to eventually be the catalyst and the focal point for your offense. The thing that you need to know about a Kyle Shanahan offense, really about the Shanahan culture, consistency, consistency, consistency. They don't care about the arm strength. They don't care about the mobility aspect. They need a guy that's going to move the ball into the right hands of the right target to keep drives alive, pick up third downs, let the clock keep on running, and put yourself in a situation to score every chance you get. That's what is predicated on a Kyle Shanahan-led offense. Who does that best right now? It is easily the likes of a guy in Brock Purdy. The guy was playing excellent down the stretch, and yes, we can go ahead and focus in on the defense. We can talk about what it means to have a great player, such as a great defense coordinator, such as D'Amico Ryans. But Brock Purdy also deserves a little bit of praise. And if he is the hottest hand right now, and if he is the reason why San Francisco is going to remain in contention status, you have to play him. There's no other way around it. I know that there's going to be people who say, well, we wasted 3 first-round picks on Trey Lance. If Lance wins the job outright, good for you. But until further notice, you play the hot hand. That's why you never leave the blackjack table until you start losing a couple games. You got to go ahead and play Brock Purdy. If he's healthy, he gives you your best chance to win. Because he's already won over the locker room. The other thing he's already done is he's won over the coaching staff.
The New York Jets remain hopeful. Dynamic running back Breece Hall will be ready to kick off the 2023 regular season after last year's ACL tear. The 2022 second-round pick shot out the gate last season, providing gangrene with his home run threat of the backfield. Hall rushed for 463 yards and 4 touchdowns on 80 carries and added 218 receiving yards on 19 catches with a touchdown in 7 games before suffering the knee injury in October. The Jets will bring Hall along slowly during the early portions of offseason work, including current OTAs, with hope that he's close to full go for training camp in July. With Aaron Rodgers on board and a revamped wide receiver core, the Jets' offseason offense will be magnitudes more explosive if Hall is ready for week one.
It looks good. You know, he's one of those kids that we've had to kind of hold back from him because there's a process. You don't want to, it's weird to say it, you don't want to heal too fast in an ACL. You've got to be able to balance it out with the strength. He looks strong. He looks powerful. He's learning. I mean, I'm excited for him to get back on the field. I feel like he won't need to be limited during training camp, even though we still will, just to be conscientious and cautious with him. But he looks awesome.
That sounds like he's going to be ready for week one.
Yeah, I'm very, very optimistic on that one. I don't want to jinx it. I mean, the kid's already hitting over 22 on the GPS, so he looks freaking good. So,
imagine having Aaron Rodgers with the receiving core that he now features, Alan Lazard, Mecole Hardman, Garrett Wilson, a good offensive line, which is not a great offensive line, but a good offensive line, top 10 defense, and a play caller that already knows how to work with your quarterback, plus a run game that now is a focal point for your team's success. And really, last year was part of the reason for the early numbers and production for a New York Jets team. Yeah, I consider that a pretty good thing for you, if I'm not mistaken. Breece Hall has the power, he has the skill set, he has the physicality to be able to win in the open field. And if he's hitting 22 miles per hour off a torn ACL 8 months later, you're in really good hands. I am still a bit hesitant when talking about this roster in New York. Because, yeah, you bring over the quarterback, but you still have a couple of other flaws, mainly on the offensive line. What could it take for you to get over that hump? Plain and simple, have a good run game. Take pressure off of Aaron Rodgers. He already wanted a number one receiver. He got that Garrett Wilson. But what was the reason for also the team chemistry in Green Bay for the last few years? Excellent run game with A.J. Dillon / Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones. So if you get back at Breece Hall at the right time, yeah, I understand why there's a lot of people who are going to say the Jets are certainly in the running to win a Super Bowl. Yeah, they are, because if you have a great run game and you're not relying on 39-year-old Aaron Rodgers to have to sling the rock 40 times a game. I wouldn't want to do that. Would you?
All offseason, Commanders coach Ron Rivera has insisted the QB1 gig is Sam Howell's to win. Those proclamations have come with some raised eyebrows, given the fifth-round pick has played one career game. So far, the reports out of D.C. from Howell's teammates have been positive during OTAs. Howell will have to fend off Jacoby Brissett for the starting gig during training camp later this summer, and the veteran will be waiting in the wings if the second-year QB wins the opening day job but falters early in the season. McLaurin, who remains one of the most underrated wide receivers in the NFL despite inking a big contract last season, has been at his best with QBs who give him a chance to make plays even when it appears he's covered. Perhaps Howell can hit the ground running in year two and stop the cycle of quarterback turnover in Washington. Otherwise, McLaurin starting QB figure will hit 11 and beyond in the years to come.
Sam has a real quiet confidence about him that I think you feel. I think with Taylor last year, he was more demonstrative in the way he made plays on the field. And Sam, he may not be the biggest rah-rah. He's going to not tell people what to do, but he knows what he's doing when he gets out on the field. He's very confident in his ability, and he's not afraid to give guys the opportunity to make plays.
I don't know what to make of a team like Washington, to be completely honest, because if I like Terry McLaurin, I like Jahan Dotson, I like their defense. I'm not really sure what to make of Ron Rivera anymore. But if Sam Howell is able to go ahead and pick the bull by the horns, as was said in this interview, of course, by WashingtonCommanders.com, there's a reason to think that maybe they'll be able to go ahead and get a win, get a couple wins, and put them over the top. And here's the best thing. If Washington doesn't need to go ahead and draft a quarterback early, then they can go ahead and focal point other areas of weakness on their team to where they can build around Sam Howell. Like, when Dak Prescott got drafted, one of the biggest things was Dallas didn't have to worry about quarterback anymore. If they don't have to worry about quarterback in Washington because Sam Howell meets expectations, they're in a really good spot going into 2024 with or without Ron Rivera as their head coach.
Jameis Winston surprised many this offseason, signing a renegotiated one-year contract to remain with the New Orleans Saints instead of forcing his way to the open market after the club inked their cars to a big money deal. Winston's decision to sign on to be Carr's caddy in 2023 doesn't mean he's resigned to be a backup for the rest of his career. On the contrary, the former number one overall pick said Tuesday he believes he's still an NFL starter.
I think that he can be an NFL starter, which is kind of why I was very hesitant to say, is he really going to re-sign with New Orleans? Either he does not think that Derek Carr is going to be able to win the job, or he's just really happy in the bayou. And I know that New Orleans is a fun place. Louisiana as a whole, if you go to the right spots, is a crescent gem. And I do think that, again, you go play for a team like the Saints, you'll always have an opportunity to start, and you have no idea what it takes. So maybe we will see Jameis Winston and famous Jameis get back in the starting role. There you have it. 2 minute warning. Right here, I'm just saying it.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
And this is a special group. You know, that this group has been able to overcome a lot of different things, handle a lot of adversity, setbacks, things that have not gone the way we wanted it to go. And instead of having that collapse our spirit, it allowed us to develop some fortitude and grit collectively, and give us something to rally around, which was each other.
I would like to say that I'm never rattled. I'm very calm. I'm very consistent in everything that I do, whether it's before the game, after the game, during the game. And I think when my guys look at me like that, they follow suit in every single way. And I love that about them because they're never shook. No matter what, we could be down. People could think that we're out. And all of a sudden, it's like they're right back in this thing. And it's because we do the same thing every day. We love being around one another. We want to see each other succeed. We really do enjoy when each other play well. And we're going to continue to do that. Never going to get rattled. And we're going to see where we end up.
Never rattled, never a doubt, never a question when talking about the Miami Heat. 800-224-2004. It's Cole Thompson, which is saying it right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. We have game one of the NBA Finals tonight as the Denver Nuggets play host to the 8 seed, the last team in, the team that everyone speculated was eventually going to fall apart and only fell into a plethora of luck to post themselves as the only number two, the second team ever in the history of the NBA playoffs to be a national contender. 800-224-2004. Okay. So what I find interesting is that now, just before the start of the NBA Finals, we're finally getting a little bit more of an inside picture of what this finals is all about. And I know what you're saying here. Well, Cole, how is that possible? What do you mean that we're only getting an inside look? We've been talking about the NBA Finals for quite some time. No. I have been talking about the NBA Finals for quite some time. I know multiple people who work in this industry who have been talking about the NBA Finals for quite some time, regardless of who was playing in the matchup. But the national people, a lot of national people, have been focusing on other areas because of ratings play a massive deal in their overall demeanor that they don't want to focus in on two teams that don't really have a lot of sustenance in the NBA. Think about this for a second. Are we really interested in this year's NBA matchup? Most fans would say yes, because if you want to know why, it's the NBA, it's the finals, it's two teams that have done the work to get here, But there will be conversations by those who are in the big wigs that say, let's talk about the failures of a team like the Boston Celtics and how they blew an opportunity to represent the Eastern Conference. Let's talk about the Lakers, who couldn't even win a game against these Denver Nuggets. Have LeBron James, have a superstar in Anthony Davis, and I've been on record saying that the X factor of the entire postseason was AD. AD clutch, Lakers win. Plain and simple. But the reality is that because of two of the more historic franchises in all of professional sports had an opportunity to face off against each other, we aren't focusing in on the two teams that did the work and the labor to get here. Miami had to go on the road every single game won and set the tone against a New York Knicks team, against a Milwaukee Bucks team, against the likes of a Boston Celtics team. Did you know that they were 3-0 in all those matchups? Did you know, and I hate to break it to you on this one, did you know that they played better, more efficient shooting, better defense, excellent consistency than the teams that everyone else thought were highlight rosters? Of course, you have Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee, so even though it is a smaller market team, it's a big-time star. The Knicks have been trying to get back to relevancy for over a decade now. And then you have Boston, again, basically the face of the NBA for most fans that don't live inside of the United States or Canada. Most people know them, and they know the Lakers. Denver did the exact same thing. Denver easily kicked the keisters of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Well, okay, well, it's Minnesota. It's not that big of a deal. No, it is a big deal because if they still won and they won outright and set the tone of what they need to play the remainder of their postseason. You also have a team in the Phoenix Suns that certainly I thought was going to have bigger and brighter noises, but they also set the tone against them. And then they absolutely demolished a Lakers team that did feature the X factor in Anthony Davis, that did feature 38-year-old LeBron James, that did have everything that you were looking for in terms of success. And instead, mainstream media wants to go ahead and focus in on the failures of historic franchises than the rise of two teams that play in great markets, number one, in excellent atmospheres, number two, and the biggest thing of all, did the work to get here. And I think it is a shame by anybody else out there who thinks that ratings right now are more important than talking about the main things that are happening in sports. Baseball is in the middle of the season. Baseball is also a local sport. If you are not a fan of the MLB, you're not going to want to be tuning in at the top of every hour talking about your other respective roster. You can hear it in your local market. National market? No. The other thing is that you aren't having NFL right now. NFL is in its OTA period. Outside of a few big motions like Aaron Rodgers hurting himself or Patrick Mahomes getting a new deal or maybe Tom Brady coming back and playing quarterback, you're not interested in it. You're interested in the NBA Finals because that is what is at the forefront of every single conversation. And the reality is that this is a game and this is a matchup that features a Miami team that is definition of consistency and has been for years because of great culture started by Pat Riley and carried over by disciple Eric Spoelstra and a Denver Nuggets team that certainly has, in my opinion, the best player in the NBA. So where's the storyline here? How about the fact that you have two teams that did everything possible to really get to the finals on different avenues? Denver was the best team throughout the regular season in the Western Conference. They were physical. They showed you that they had enough power defensively to be able to go toe-to-toe with anybody in the NBA. And they have a 1-2 combination that easily could go toe-to-toe with any other duo out there and maybe is actually the better of all the duos because you have a guy that can play down low but can also shoot from all around the rim in Nikola Jokic, and a leader in Jamal Murray, who people seem to forget about, was on the rise during the bubble when they went to the Western Conference Finals against Los Angeles, and then gets hurt, and we kind of forget about him in the spotlight. Miami is basically the Pittsburgh Steelers of the NBA, and I've been on record saying this. Every year, they may not win the championship, but you know they're going to be in the running for the championship. You know that they're going to be around. You know that they're going to be in the postseason. Even when they don't have superstar talents, even when they only have one big-time name and you find a way to build around him, they're always in the mix. And that is something to talk about. So don't tell me there aren't storylines to follow during this upcoming postseason. There's a lot of storylines to follow. Nikola Jokic joining the likes of other big men to be able to hoist up an NBA title and cement his legacy in the history of the sport. Jimmy Butler, a well-known number two on great rosters in Chicago, on a roster in Minnesota, on a Philadelphia 76ers squad that featured Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, that he is now actually the focal point of a team and has proven, I can be a number one. I can be one of these faces. I can go to an organization that many people weren't expecting me to go to, and I can be the reason why we are successful. Storylines are everywhere. You just got to be creative enough to find them. And it's a shame that we live in a society where more people are focusing in on the ratings and the negativity and the qualms and the correlations of BS that doesn't matter when two teams that absolutely deserve exoneration and are attributions to be respected. It is. And I'm not going to sit here and go ahead and argue about it. 800-224-2004. What I will argue about is which player in Jimmy Butler or Nikola Jokic needs this win more, needs this finals victory more to cement their legacy. If I were to be a betting man right now, I would say it was Jimmy Butler. And it's not because I don't think that Nikola Jokic isn't worthy of winning a title. It's because of when I look at a team like Miami and I look at the age of Jimmy Butler, at some point, he is going to start to dwindle away. You don't have to worry about that with Nikola Jokic right now. He's a two-time MVP, very well could have been a three-peat champion, and the roster is young enough and has enough cohesiveness to where you can expect in the Western Conference Denver to be back in the finals next season. I'm not saying they will. I'm saying you can expect them to at least be in the conversation for it. Can you say the same thing about Miami? At some point, Jimmy Butler may have to be a number two again. They may go out and they may add in a player like a Dame Lillard. They may go out and add in a player like potentially a Jaylen Brown if they were able to make a trade. They could eventually go find themselves a new number one. But this is the year where Jimmy Butler can have his D-Wade moment. Dwayne Wade won multiple championships down in South Beach. But the one that I remember him most there is the one when he was playing with Shaquille O'Neal in 2006. That was the year where D-Wade told everybody, yeah, I know that I am not the biggest and brightest star, but I am a star. And I am somebody who can easily lead a team. I don't need other guys to play around. It's cool I have Chris Bosh. It's cool that I have a guy on LeBron James. But I did this stuff well before they walked in the building, and my legacy in this building is secure. I think that Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, and this Denver Nuggets team could be back in the running next year. I'm not sure I can say the same thing about Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
You know, so many different things, emotions that I'm still processing. But the bottom line is this job, the one I'm in, and I would say this for any professional general manager or coach, requires complete engagement, complete effort, 1,000%. And if you can't do it, then you shouldn't do it. And so that's the answer. I'm in a narrow lane. Because I love basketball so much. But I don't know. I've never really stopped going. I went right from an agent to this. I went to law school at night after college. I've my whole life has been like, maybe it'll be good for me to sit still. I don't know how good I'll be at it, but I've actually never done it and maybe figure some things out. And I don't know what's coming.
What's coming is change to the Bay Area with Golden State. 800-224-2004. So that was Bob Myers, who announced on Tuesday this past week that he would be stepping down as the general manager of Golden State. And it comes as a very big shock because of this is a guy that is probably best known as the architect behind the dynasty that has been the Warriors since 2015. And he has been somebody who is a staple of what basketball is right now. It is, no matter how you want to phrase it. See, Bob Myers is one of the more intriguing GMs in the history of the sport because of everybody can sit at home and be an armchair analyst. Everybody can sit at home and play NBA 2K, MLB The Show, Madden. I do this all the time where I live out my childhood dream of saying, I would do this if I was a GM. I would make this move if I was a GM. I would make this type of contract extension. I'd make these type of trades to build my roster in the way that I see fit. And what's interesting is that Bob Myers, a kid that grew up right outside of San Francisco in a town called Daleville, California, got to live out the ultimate 14-year-old dream. Everyone sits at home and says, if I was in charge, here's what I would do to make sure that my team remains successful. Bob Myers did that. Bob Myers actually was able to go ahead and do everything that we all sit at home and wonder and ponder why GMs make these type of moves, why these type of lucrative contracts are signed. And because of it, Golden State was better for it at the end of the day. Think about this for a second. When he was hired as the assistant GM in 2011, if I'm not mistaken, he ended up becoming a focal point and learned underneath ownership on how to be able to build a roster. And once he was able to go ahead and finally get over that hump and take over for the likes of Larry Riley, he became influential in all the moves made to turn Golden State into what it is today. He hired Steve Kerr. He was the one that let go of Mark Jackson. He was the one that made the key trade to go ahead and bring over a Kevin Durant. And he was the one that extended Klay Thompson after declining to trade him to acquire Kevin Love. So this was a guy that really was at the precipice of all the team's success. Here's a problem when you are this close to a franchise. If I was to run the Houston Astros for a matter, because here's the thing, reality. I love storylines in the the NFL. I love watching great teams perform in college football, but I'm not a fan of one specific team. I am a fan of the Houston Astros. So that'd be the team. I grew up loving them. I have fond memories. The best memories I have growing up with my dad are going to Astros games and Arrows games, which is why I'm a big proponent of the NHL bringing a franchise to Houston, because some of my fondest memories of me as a kid and some of the best moments I had growing up with my dad was going to these sporting events. Same thing if I was to go back to Alabama and be a head coach. I never would want to do it because of the legacy that I have with this institution will forever be remembered before I come back. Once I come back into a building and I can't meet the expectations, no one remembers me what I did as a player. No one remembers me what I did as a person. People only remember what I did as a coach. And if I fail to bring a title to Tuscaloosa, the only thing that I will be exonerated for is my insecurities and my negativities, not the positives that I brought. So I would never want to do that. And I understand why coaches say, I can go back and fix my alma mater, but you have to also have to realize part of the issue that comes with the process is the fact that you may end up being at the negative portion of a team's outcome. So I look at a guy like Bob Myers, the reason why he's stepping down naturally is because change has to come to Golden State if they want to remain a contender. You need to build around Steph Curry, who still is an elite player, but eventually he is going to regress. How do you do so? By trimming the fat, trimming the contracts of players who no longer are used as value. And those are very tough conversations to have. Sit down Draymond Green and Klay Thompson and say, listen, I love what you've done for this organization throughout your tenure, but your time is up here. You want to continue your NBA careers? It's got to be on a new team, because we have to go in a different direction if we want to be successful. And that is very challenging for anybody to do. Imagine telling your family members, I can't be seen with you anymore if I want to be elected into mayor, if I want to be elected the president of the United States because of something you posted on Facebook. You can't have that conversation. It's horrible. And you end up being the villain in this whole process. So Bob Myers is walking away because of not only will he have an opportunity to become a GM elsewhere, not only will he be able to create another legacy with a new organization, but also because of he's so close to this team, growing up as a fan, loving the culture of what the Bay Area brought, that if he ends up not being able to keep this roster in contention, keep the outcome, keep the legacy and the dynasty alive, people eventually will start to forget about what he did. They'll only remember what he's currently doing. So you don't worry about what it's going to take to have that conversation with a guy like Draymond Green. You don't worry about what it's like to have that conversation with a guy in Klay Thompson. You don't worry about the contract deal with Jordan Poole, because the next GM is going to have those tough conversations. And the best part is, the next GM won't be as close to the situation to where he says, oh, my heart was so much in this. I was part of the reason for you getting these long-term contracts. I was part of the reason that we were able to build something that was withstanding. So he walks away, leaving his legacy secure. And a lot of people, I think, would be smarter to do this in life. Because a guy like Bob Myers is going to be able to find a job if he wants to. He can take 12 months off, and a year from now, there's going to be franchises, incredible franchises, that will end up saying, you know what? We need a guy and an executive that knows not only how to build a team, but how to build a dynasty. And we want to have that. Bob Myers, what's your offer? Here's a blank check. Go ahead and lead our team to glory, just like he did at Golden State. No one will remember Bob Myers for his failures that potentially could come by keeping a Draymond Green an extra year or two, by keeping a Klay Thompson for an extra year or two, by letting Steve Kerr walk away when his contract is up in 2024. No one's going to have that conversation with Bob Myers. Instead, you're going to remember all the positives and all the glory and the glamour that he brought to a franchise, one that he grew up, one that he thought when he was a kid, I want to run this team the way I see fit. And he did. And he did so with grace, with glory, and with passion. Something that everyone in this world, I think, can understand as a sports fan. 800-224-2004. So one of the more underlining things that we're going to have to watch for in tonight's game against the Denver Nuggets and the Miami Heat to start off the NBA Finals is how to contain a Nikola Jokic. This is something that I think is going to be brought up in conversations years from now, or months from now, really, not years from now, let's be real, it's going to be over in about 10 weeks, because there's going to be a new subject matter. But this is something that I think people are going to be focusing in on, because of one thing is very true, and that is that Bam Adebayo offensively has not lived up to expectations for the Miami Heat. We're talking about other players right now, not the likes of your number two, not the more important name that has been a elemental factor for this team's success. We're talking about Caleb Martin. We're talking about Max Strus. We're talking about Duncan Robinson. But you have to be able to have a great performance if you're Bam Adebayo, both offensively and defensively, to be able to withstand a triple-double threat like Nikola Jokic. And that is something that I think is going to be an underlining process throughout this entire NBA Finals, is how do you contain a player that looks unstoppable in all three phases of the game? He can win defensively around the rim. He can outbox you and make you feel inferior trying to get a second shot attempt. He can easily go ahead and drive all the way to the basket for an easy bucket. He can, no, without question, get the ball out in his hands to the right person waiting in the wings. And because if he's such a threat, he's going to have to be double, triple teamed by players, thus opening up avenues for him, who is, in my opinion, one of, if not the best passer in the league, to get opportunities for easy buckets. Your entire goal in tonight's game, if you are the Miami Heat, and we'll probably lead off the show with this tomorrow, how do you find a way to stop Nikola Jokic from being Nikola Jokic? You don't need to have an incredible performance if you are Bam Adebayo offensively, because at this point, I don't think you can ask that anymore. I think now you have to turn your attention to other role players. If Tyler Hero is able to come back and play tonight, which I doubt he will, and if he does, it'll be very limited, you'll still get the buckets. You'll still get the metrics. You'll still get the points. But it's all about eliminating the attempts from Nikola Jokic. And if you get Nikola Jokic to play a bad quarter, maybe even a bad half of that matter, doesn't matter what he does in the second half or with the final 24 minutes, you're going to probably be able to walk away victorious.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Welcome back into Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Cole Thompson in the driver's seat, getting you caught up on everything you might have missed headed into a fun Thursday morning action. 800-224-2004. That's the number whenever you want to call on the show. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you hate. Let's be real. You love everything about this show. We know you love everything about this show. And we want to hear from you, the listener, so make sure you tune in, 800-224-2004, at Mr. Cole Thompson on Twitter, at Sports Map Radio. Download the Just Saying It podcast version of the show on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Audio Boom, or wherever else you get your podcast listening systems. Game one of the NBA Finals tonight. I would be remiss if I did not tell you how I think this playoff series is going to go. Lock it in. Make sure that I am going to be held accountable for whatever happens. These are two teams that, no matter how you want to phrase it, are certainly going to be undermined. I don't care if you think that the betting line says in favor of Miami, if the betting line says in favor of a team like Denver, spoiler alert, Denver has the best odds to win. They are currently projected at a line of, what is it, if I'm not mistaken? Minus 480 versus plus 330. At the end of the day, these are two teams that vastly have deserved the right to be able to make it to the finals. I still believe that Jimmy Butler and his impact is going to be on full display for however many games this series goes. I have a bet, and I think it's going to go to six. Six is the line I think it's going to be at. But you need excellent offensive consistency from guys like Tyler Hero, should he come back for the full series, from guys like Duncan Robinson on the bench, guys like Bam Adebayo, who offered you nothing in the last series offensively and only gave you a little bit defensive. You also need a great performance from Caleb Martin. I don't think you need that on the opposing side, because if Nikola Jokic has a 20-point game and 10 rebounds, Jamal Murray is going to have a 45-point game. If Jamal Murray has a 22-point game and 6 assists, you're going to have excellent 3-point shooting from Michael Porter Jr. You're going to have two-way consistency from guys like Aaron Gordon. You're going to have excellent defensive prowess from Nikola Jokic. End of the day, give me the Nuggets in 6. I think Jimmy Butler is not going to be able to get it done. However, this does not change what you can talk about when discussing the likes of the Miami Heat. They are a team that is not one of destiny, but they are a team of culture. And the culture is rich and abundantly promising in the likes of South Beach, regardless of what happens in this playoff series. 800-224-2004. It's that part of the show, Cole's Calendar, where we break down the national holiday of every single day. I see Michael shaking on the other side of the glass. That was why I was probably laughing. We're going to go ahead and break down everything that millennials want, which is a day to be able to celebrate themselves. Michael, start of the new month, what do we have in favor of June 1st? My wedding month, for that matter.
We have 6 of them.
Hold up, were you laughing on the other side?
No, why?
You were just shaking.
No, I was just shaking my head.
Were you watch? Did you watch the video I sent you?
Yeah, I did.
Was it not the funniest thing you've ever seen?
Not I ever seen.
But it was funny, right?
Is dumb comedy.
Okay, so for those of you that are trying to get what we're talking about, you know the pay it forward process when you go into like a drive thru and you...
This happened to me once.
Did it? Wait. Like someone did this to you?
Someone, I guess somebody paid for a coffee in front of us once. And I was like, thank you.
You didn't pay it forward?
No.
You didn't get the trend going? So no. I will keep it going. But I will always ask the price, and I always will do that because if I know that this stuff happens. So there's a comedy bit by Tim Robinson where he pays it forward, then goes back in line and orders the entire menu, and then gets in an argument with the guy in front of him saying, "You have to pay it forward! You have to pay it forward!" And I'm like, "Yes, you do." $700 later, you do not have to pay it forward. I just thought it was the best thing. I have not had a good belly laugh in about 10 weeks. That has made me lose my mind. Michael, what do we have on today's docket?
First one is National Nail Polish Day.
I think it's National Pay It Forward Day. I think it just should be National Pay It Forward Day.
I will never pay it forward.
You will never?
No, I don't care how much it is. I'm not. I'm. This is my hard-earned money. I don't care if people pay for it in front of me.
Really? Yep. You? One cup of coffee.
I'm stingy with my money.
I am too, but like there's a cutoff for me. It's like $20 or more, I won't pay it forward. But like $5, I'll pay.
Maybe I need those $5 for my mortgage, though. So.
Oh, my God. Nail polish day. Maybe you need it for your nail polish for Betty. Maybe you need to buy Betty some nail polish, and that's where your money needs to go. If you had to have a color that was attached to your nails, what color would you go with?
None.
You wouldn't go with any?
No.
You wouldn't even get a clear cut?
No.
Really?
Mm.
I mean, I don't know. I'd maybe go with white. I feel like white would be good. Because I'm already pasty, so it's like, oh, it's just more whiteness to me. Just go ahead and accept my reality of just being able to get burnt in the skin. I think it would be really funny, though, because when you burn, then you tan afterwards, and then I show up like looking like Julio Iglesias, and then I have these big white nails. It's like, dude, did your nails just get like completely torched? Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
I know catchers usually paint their nails so, like, the pitches, they can see them.
Yeah, so catchers will always paint usually. So my buddy did this when he was in high school. He would paint his three fingers. So he'd paint his index finger, his middle finger, and his ring finger. And he had, and the pitcher that he worked with, he had three pitches. So one, two, three. And if he did four and he stuck out, he put in his finger. He put it on his index finger. That'd be the fourth pitch. I get it. I mean, listen, why not have nail polishes? Why not?
National Go Barefoot Day.
I don't like going barefoot even in my house. Like, I'm one of these people that is, like, very, not germophobic for that matter, because, like, I shower at the north, like, if I shower at the gym or if I go, like, into a whirlpool somewhere, like, it doesn't bother me on that. But, like, if I'm out and about, even in my own apartment, I don't like not being shoeless. Like, I sleep without shoes on, and that's about it. When I'm just walking around, and Kirsten drives her freaking nuts, dude. She's like, stop wearing shoes inside the house. It leaves trail marks. She's like, you love cleaning. I'm giving you a gift. The gift is that you get to go
you
ahead.
You wear shoes in the house?
Yes.
That's weird.
I don't like my feet being bare.
Oh, you're weird.
I know I'm weird. I've accepted the reality.
I mean, you don't wear, like, socks?
I wear socks and shoes.
In your house?
In my apartment.
All day?
All day.
Yeah, that's weird.
I don't know why. It just, I can't do it. I don't like it. Like, when I wake up in the middle of the night, even then, I'm like, do I want to put on shoes, like, just to go to the fridge? It weirds me out. Like, only time I don't really wear shoes, in the shower. Shower is, like, the one moment where I'm like, you know what? I don't need it. I'm good. Besides that, shoes. And I'm okay with being the weird guy. I have no problem admitting to me having these tendencies like that. None whatsoever. I'm totally absolutely cool with it.
National Game Show Day.
Okay. So I have been on this show before. I've been very clear about what I wanted to do for a job when I was a kid. I want to be a voice actor. I love voice acting. I think there is an art form to it because of all you have as an instrument is your vocal cords. That's it. You have to be so dynamic to do that. The other thing that I want to do, and holy crap, if I ever get to that point in my life where I am the number one show in America, I may get that opportunity. I want to host a game show. I think hosting game shows are awesome. And you know what the best part is? It is a job that is very easy to do if you have the chops and the charisma, which I think that I do. Yours truly actually loves himself. Think that, you know, I can handle the pressure. You do it once a day, and then you're done. And you make millions of dollars off that. And people love you. Bob Barker, still to this day, is loved. He has not been on The Price is Right for over a decade now. And everyone's like, oh, Bob Barker, spayed and neuter your pets today. I still love that old man. I love him to death. He is such a fun guy. I would love to be a game show host. Michael, you think I could do it?
I don't know. I mean, I really don't look at game shows. So.
What? Did you not grow up with your like in your house like and just be playing on in the background? Like during the summer? Oh, I did. All the time.
Mm-mm.
I remember when I was growing up, my grandma, because they moved the time slot for it, would always watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with that Meredith chick. I always forget her last name. And I would sit down and play the game with her. And she would always just be like, you're so smart, Cole. Meanwhile, I just have my phone pulled up and I'm looking up Google and like saying, oh, this is the answer. Cole, you know everything. I'm like, yep, yeah, I do, Grandma. I know I do.
National Pen Pal Day.
I didn't have one growing up. You know, you always had like that time where you would like write letters to kids like in fourth grade and then hopefully you get your answer back. I don't know if it's because I went to a private school until I was in eighth grade and they just were like, yeah, we don't want people knowing where you live. We don't want people knowing how to get inside the building. We don't need you talking to these random strangers because you don't know who you're writing to. But yeah, I mean, some people do it.
National Hazelnut Cake Day.
Yeah, no. I mean, I like hazelnut, but I only like getting coffee.
And National Say Something Nice Day.
I hereby decree National Say Something Nice Day. All it takes is one certain aspect of your day to make someone else's. Give them a compliment. Michael, I have never had a better looking producer than you. How's that for a compliment? National Say Something Nice Day. You are delightful. And I'm so proud of you and how you have come together and made yourself even more dynamically beautiful. That does it for me here on Just Saying It. I'll be back tomorrow to break down game one of the NBA Finals, more news coming out of the NFL, and a plethora of other things. It's Cole Thompson with Just Saying It, signing off. Have a good Thursday, folks. Same time tomorrow. Later.